Hey folks, Cindy and I are still traveling. We are somewhere in the prairies, in the wide open spaces of Saskatchewan, as you listen to this. But I didn't want to leave you without a podcast, so I went back through the archives, and I've been pulling forward shows that really touched me or moved me or I thought were extra special. So if you've just started listening to this podcast and haven't had a chance to dig through the archives, here's a really good one for you. And if you have been listening right from the beginning, I think you're going to like hearing this one again, because it's a chat from just over a year ago with Rosie Gray. And Rosie is a baker up in the north of Scotland, and she's just the most amazing young woman I have talked to maybe forever. I love her to bits. This is a really good talk. We go all over the place. Enjoy. Happy baking. We'll talk to you soon with a brand new episode as soon as I get back home. Okay, enjoy the show.
How crazy it seems to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick. And this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with the people in their communities. Wow, let's go over that again, shall we? This is the Rise Up Podcast. This is about serving your communities. This is about, yeah, it's about baking and good food, but it's about rising up and serving your communities. And that is why I'm so excited about the show today, because I'm talking again, an update with Rosie Gray from Kincraig, Scotland. You might remember Rosie from episode 67. And if you don't, go back and listen to that one too, because it's a humdinger. But Rosie and I hadn't talked in a year, and I was really curious about what she was up to. And so I said, hey, let's have a talk. And actually, I think she might have emailed me. I can't even remember, but we said, let's have a talk and then let's hit the record button and share it with everybody. And I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, and then we're going to tie it back to this talk with Rosie. Then we're going to have the talk with Rosie, okay? Before I do that, how are you? How are you feeling? How's things where you live? I know this virus is not getting any better, even though we're getting sensitized to it. I don't know anywhere in the world that reading lately that the numbers are less than they were in March, but it seems like old hat. Whatever happens, I hope you're okay. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're still able to bake. Sort of in that order, you know, feel good, be healthy, keep baking, you know, because we got to be in this for the long game. So we got to be healthy and happy. But if we keep baking, I think we're all the kind of people that if we keep on baking, we feel better. And if we share it with other people, we feel even better. So hooray for that. I hope that's your situation these days, that you're staying happy and healthy. A little rant now. This is about the eighth intro to this conversation with Rosie. And it's been really, really hard to record because I'm just so riled up these days. And it's my own damn fault, because I continue to start my day by reading my emails and reading my headlines in the news. And it's just depressing out there. You know, I subscribe to a couple newsy email lists, right? And so I kind of get updates via email. If you send me an email, Mark with a K at riseuppod.com, that makes my day. That makes me happy. But if I read these newsy ones at the start of the day, that's never a good thing, these headlines. And it doesn't really matter what it's about. There's no good news. And I think that's kind of the point that I'm learning, is that what is the news for? It used to be that the news was for keeping you informed, making you aware of a world outside of yourself. Although what I've learned, or what I'm figuring out, is that the purpose of the news in 2020 is to keep you reading the news. It's not to inform you and to make you feel better and to get you out in the world, making the world a better place. It's to keep you reading the news. And the best way to keep you reading the news is headline after headline that makes you think, oh, geez, really? Is that what's going on? Oh, God, what's the point? I was going to do all these great things today, but I think I'm just going to go back to bed and read more of these headlines and just kind of doom scroll the whole day away. So I have an alternative. It's an alternative that I'm still learning and I'm still working on. But here's my alternative. Instead of reading the news, I'm going to listen to this conversation with Rosie Gray. I am. I'm just going to keep doing it because I think Rosie's got it going on. I think it's right. She is one of us. She is one of so many people that I've had on this show before that is out there trying to make her piece of the world a better place. Her piece of the world, mind you, is a tiny village in the highlands of Scotland, like in northern Scotland, right near this national park where I've learned that you can actually go skiing in the wintertime, which I didn't think was possible, but you can. And she is creating a bakery, a gorgeous tiny bakery in a trailer that's serving her community. She's figuring that out. She's studying at university and she's studying local economic development. How do we make these tiny villages more vibrant and successful in the future like they have been for hundreds of years in the past? And I just think that's awesome. And you'll hear on this that Rosie brings an energy and a vibrancy to what she's doing, even though she says she is completely exhausted when we're talking because it's at night and she's had a busy day. And I don't know, she's going 10 times quicker than I ever could. And so enough hype. What I want you to do is listen to this conversation. Enjoy it. Let it soak in. And then we'll catch up afterwards and we can kind of reflect on it a little bit and how maybe this might be a little better chat than reading the news headlines. Here we go. Rosie Gray from Kincraig in Scotland. Tell me more about this course or this workshop. It's called
Feeding the City, and it's run by the Impact Hub in King's Cross. So the program started, I think, in February or March. We applied in February, I think, and was meant to go down to London for it's kind of like mentoring and business support for food businesses, isn't it?
Sure.
But I had this other job at the point in time with Ski Patrol as well here, and then trying to fit things in. And then obviously that was actually the week that lockdown happened, so we didn't go down. The whole thing has been on Zoom. So this is how I kind of maybe got more of a handle of Zoom than the first time I'd been on it was with you a year ago. I had no idea. And then I like honestly deleted the app. And then since then, it's like blooming multiple meetings a week, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tend to live on here. It seems that everything I do is on Zoom these days. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it seems a lot of things going that way. And it's the same with, there's other workshops coming up now too, and the rules just changed in Scotland today, actually, on the lockdown stuff. So I think more of the workshops in the future are going to be by Zoom.
Yeah. It's not the same if you could have done it in person. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be better in person, I think. But I think that this helps with diversity, helps with the variety of people, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the rules like last week was that we could have had 8 people come, but now being online, it can go to more people. And the thing with this, the Feeding the City program is that it's kind of, it's enabled me to carry on working because the courses have been on Fridays and Saturdays. And so I've actually just carried on baking and had the laptop set up like in the horse box with me. And so it's just saved on the time for transport and everything. So I guess there's definitely like efficient parts.
Yeah.
I miss seeing the sides of people's faces.
Yeah. I hear you. I just got off a Zoom with a buddy of mine in Sacramento who works with the guy that started Impact Hub in California, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's so weird that you brought that up.
with the alignment, because I'm learning about that whole thing.
Yeah, so the Impact Hub is absolutely amazing. When I decided to open a bakery, I got in touch, about 5 years ago, I got in touch with the Impact Hub because I wandered in there with dreadlocks when I was living at this retreat center. I had this whole idea about a community cafe, and they kind of just like took me on board at that point. So for about 5 years, this Brian and Polly up at the Impact Hub in Inverness have been like looking out for me. And then I entered this competition, which is about like food businesses, or I don't know what it was about, to be honest. But anyway, it was this whole idea about restoring an orchard and a community cafe, and I was going to do a food truck. And from winning this pitch thing, I got like a year of business support and mentoring from them up in Inverness. But then I spent that year actually in Ireland. I just kept emailing them and was like, yeah, like I think I'm going to do this now, or it's evolved into this. And they've just put up with me all the way through. And then last year when I was in that tent in Belgium, was like, hey, I'm actually going to do it. I've actually got this idea and I'm actually going to do it now. Can I come? And they were like, yeah, sure. Like, we'll ask and you can just transfer it to this year. So one day a week I've been like, when we were able to, I could have gone up to the office space up there and used that. And everyone else that's in there are super interesting. What kind of businesses? I don't know how you probably have a good definition for it, but I kind of think it's like, could you call it kind of like, maybe it's like, it's a shared working space.
Yeah.
Most of the businesses that's there have got some kind of other impact, like a social environmental impact.
That's exactly it.
And architects, and there's someone doing a Kumon. I was actually there today. One of them school Kumon things as well. There was a teacher in there today as well. But yeah, so they've like looked out for me right the way through. And then they also, there's this program called Feeding the City. So they're like, yeah, like if you apply for that. So then that's how I got onto there. And then there's been mentoring and advisors and just so much, just
nice,
like massive amount of support and information from that. So.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. My understanding is it's a co-working space, but like something like WeWork, which is the bigger one, but there's a criteria to get in. Not, you know, it's sort of like you have to be working on something meaningful and something with a social impact to sort of be part of the group, which sounds awesome to me. You know, that sounds really good.
Like they've got a wee kitchen set up. Like they set up, there's different spaces. So there's the wee room, which was actually their old boys' toilets. So that's if you've got like, you just want a space yourself. And then there's the kitchen, which is set up kind of like a family kitchen. And that's where people are talking. And there's some windows at the side, desks in the windows at the side where, you know, you can kind of sit and do your work without being distracted, but still participate in the conversation. Cause I just always sit in the middle of the kitchen and there's always, I think I'm pretty bad for it. I was actually there all day today. And I was like, you know, I don't get that much work done when I'm here. I spend a lot of time speaking to people, but that was so more necessary because I've been I've been living by myself and working by myself, running the business, and I really need to be around people. So,
well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to. It's like a lot of what we do, so solitary. Yeah. Like I'm thinking about it even in Victoria here, just to have a place that even a couple days a week I can get out of the house because I do everything by myself, and it can get a little stir crazy sometimes. Yeah.
I just need to see people massively. And that was super tough of lockdown, but the Impact Hub guys did coffee mornings. So that's how I spent so much time on Zoom, because it was like every Monday to Friday, 10:30, it was like half an hour Zoom.
Nice.
It was amazing, but it also made me realize even more how lonely I was, because you're not like, you know, the meeting just ends.
Yeah.
And then you're back into silence.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, right, put the tunes on, come on. But like, yeah, it was really challenging like that, but they've always been like, there's always been people on the end of a phone, but it's just seeing them the other week actually in person. They came to visit me down here actually, and I was like, oh, that was it. I said to Polly, it's so good to see the sides of your face, because I'm talking about this two-dimensional thing, you know. So I started this bakery in February in the end. So
yeah. So from Belgium, like the last year, you've just, every time I hear you or see you, you're doing something amazing but different. So from Belgium, you went back to Scotland, right?
So from Belgium, I came back via Copenhagen.
Okay.
Denmark for a bit. So I don't know. It was like, by that point, it was getting on a bit. It was cold, windy. It was cold, windy, dark, and I got lonely, basically.
Yeah, sure.
I also had organized common grains. So
that's right.
When we spoke last time, I was like just starting, like I had a date and kind of a bit of a wee announcement about it. But then that actually, well, it happened. So.
And what, how was it? How?
It was great. So then when I was in Denmark, I went and visited Per Group, I think his name is. And we were talking about the kind of, because I went to see what the kind of grains are growing in Denmark, because we're Scotland's more similar line of latitude. Yes. Like for that. So went to see what was happening there, and he'd said about we could come back as well, put a kind of group together and come back. So maybe in the future we can do something like that. And then came back to Scotland and spent the next couple of weeks visiting folk around the country that were, yeah, talking, like potentially interested in coming to the event, and went up to, yeah, Golspie to meet Mike at the mill in Golspie, and Glenafric to, there was a gathering of like crofters growing different grains. Like there was this US seed mix that they were trying out, I think about 5 locations throughout Scotland. Because the thing was that the event was at Bowhouse, which is an amazing place. I don't know if anyone's heard about that, but it's basically like a food hub place in Fife, on the south of Fife. And there's a market garden there. There was a guy. Okay, I'm just going to keep it broad because I don't know actually that much specifics of the thing. Okay. But like, there's lots of really interesting small independent food businesses operating from effectively a massive shed on a farm.
Right.
And on the farm, then there's veg growing and there's grains growing. And so that's where Scotland the Bread's based. Have you heard of Scotland the Bread?
No.
That's amazing, other amazing projects. So Scotland the Bread's now based there. And so the estate is Balkaskie, and they're growing the grains on Balkaskie farm. And then Scotland the Bread has a mill in Bowhouse, which is in the big shed. And that's where I'm getting grains.
Gotcha.
There's a whole massive story to all of that. And it's like, for a long time, Andrew Whitley's been getting like small samples and growing them on. And like
Andrew Whitley. Yeah. A buddy of mine in Canada here in Ladysmith, I was talking with him last week and he said he knows Andrew. He said, he asked me, have you talked to Andrew yet? You're going to put me in touch or something. Yeah. Yeah. He's like the elder statesman of...
There's a quote somewhere about him being like the godfather.
Yeah.
Godfather. I don't know if it was like grains or bread in Scotland or the UK, but he knows so much. Like I'm actually having a meeting. Well, hopefully we're speaking on the phone tomorrow because I'm working. There's a collaboration thing happening in the next couple of weeks. Actually, this next week we're doing something. So, so I'll speak to him tomorrow. So the event was at Bowhouse because it just made so much kind of sense in terms of, like, well, they offered the space and the mill was there. And it was like, it is definitely like it's a hub for food. But the only thing about it is where it's located. And there's a lot of Scotland further north.
Ah, okay.
So the event, so Common Grains came about because we went to the UK Grain Lab the November. The year before, I think it was a year before that. And it was about 5 of us from Scotland there and about four of, well, we all knew each other. So I was like, there must be more folk in Scotland interested in the local grain economy. So we should, you know, the point of it being local, we should get some folk together that's interested round about. And so me and a friend, Charlie Hanks, started working on ideas of this, like the February after that. But it kind of grew arms and legs and didn't really happen. And then after being in the Netherlands, I was just like, went to something there. It was a gathering of farmers, millers, bakers and scientists. I was like, oh, that's pretty straightforward. Just like set a date, get a bunch of folk together, have some lunch and talk. That's great. we can do that. I can pull that off. Like, then you have the whole imposter syndrome, like who am I to do this? And it's still like that, but it's like, well, no, I don't know anyone who'd done that. So I don't know. Let's just get a bunch of folk together. They'll either come or they don't come, you know?
Yeah.
So actually, like, a lot more planning work went into it than that.
Sure.
In reality. But yeah, it was just an idea that happened. And so in the end, it doesn't sound like much, but there was 55 people in one shed talking about it. So that was
definitely... That sounds amazing. Don't sell yourself short. That is fantastic. If I ran a thing and 55 people came, I'd be over the moon happy, for sure. For sure.
So it was really great that... There was millers that have heard of each other but never had the time to meet each other because, you know, just the hours everyone's working in the rest of their lives and things.
Right.
So it was just really great, all these different characters coming together. And yeah, it was really motivated because there's two guys I know from Yorkshire that are both, well, they were both 28 at that point, and they didn't know each other, and they both had wee bakeries. I was like, God, two guys with bakeries in Scotland, not that far away from each other, and you didn't know each other. We really, there is a need to do this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so Common Grains happened, and I spent a lot of time standing up and shouting, I think, to be honest. about potential revolutions and like, what are you going to do about it? So yeah, everyone had like a to-do list kind of thing of what are you going to achieve. I should actually check up on them, to be honest, because it was all action points. I didn't want it to be another one of these sitting in a room talking about things. I'm a person who wants outcomes and action. So
yeah,
like, guys, okay, what are you going to do next week to make a change? What are you going to do next month? You know, like broke it down like for kind of over a year, I think it was. But obviously things have changed massively. Yeah. But who knows if it's positive way, or, you know, if it's a way in at that direction, or if it's, you don't know what way things have gone, you know.
That's right.
It'd be really interesting to catch up, actually. Yeah. Well, I should do that.
Yeah.
yeah, there we go. There has been murmurings. There is murmurings of another thing happening, but I'm just waiting and seeing.
Yeah.
Maybe to do with oats this time, because I'm in all grains, and there's oats grown in Scotland, and we were trying to get hold of better quality ones. So
yeah. Yeah.
We'll just know where they're coming from, to be honest. That's
Well then after that, is that when you opened up your thing?
So literally the next week, me and my brother went and picked up a horse box. like a trailer that you.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
I'd normally be sitting in it, but actually, I'm just not tonight. I'm actually really tired, so I'm just sitting in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So you set up in a horse trailer? Is that?
Yeah, an old Rice Richards and horse box. I show you. Like, I just, I'm gonna go and get it. I'll bring the.
Do it. Yeah.
I want to show you this picture. Okay, I'll send you this picture, and you can put it. You can put it out there, but. One of my neighbors, who's a customer and an artist, painted a picture of me in it. Oh, and it completely explains what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, it's just this, it just sums up exactly what I'm up to, basically. So I'll send you.
Please.
Yeah, so it's a yellow Rice Richardson horse box that was previously used by a couple who were doing waffles and coffee out of it. And because I don't have this, it's accepting that I don't have the skills to do everything. Like, you know, like they had. They'd had it actually converted before, so it has like gas pipe work and a water heater and a pump and countertops and stuff in it already. So it just was like, cool, it's pretty much like I just need to tweak it about a bit,
yeah,
and then I could do something. But then I ended up spending like the next month kind of sanding down the whole thing and repainting it and like, just getting to know it a bit more, and then baking a bit. And that was all in my dad's shed, actually. And then it could just. Eventually, by February, I decided just to actually, February, I started selling bread. So, yeah. So I went to the pub with bread, basically.
Yeah.
It was a beer festival. So for 2 weeks, it was a beer festival. And I'm in a village called Kincraig, which is halfway between Kinghussie and Aviemore. And I've spent a lot of time here since the age of 11. I've been kind of living here part-time on and off in between places and... I say most of my life is here. Like, so I used to be an outdoor instructor, like working here. Yeah. So I've got like quite a bit of life already here.
Yeah. So tell me the name of where your place is again.
Kincraig.
Kincraig.
Yeah. K-I-N-C-R-A-I-G. Because I've got some Canadians staying with me right now, actually. Other bakers. Yeah. Right. They're downstairs right now. And they all call it Kincraig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, so here's the thing. My daughter is teaching English in Canterbury, okay, so down in the south of the UK. And, yeah, she's been teased about this for over a year now because she can't pronounce Craig properly. But then I've got people to say it, and they go, well, it's not Craig, it's Craig. And I can't hear the difference, but, yeah, it's completely different.
It's an A of a difference, and you guys are always saying A, no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I've been giving these guys stick for it. And
well, I'm on their side.
But I was like, fine, it's not like important, but people don't really know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's what I was like. We've gone through writing on notice boards in the bakery and the alphabet.
Okay.
Say egg.
Egg. Craig.
Kin Craig.
Kin Craig.
There you go. It's just so that it's just Craig. Just no people don't know where the Kin Craig.
Yeah. And see, and so to my ear, I'm pronouncing it more with an E than an A, but that's all right. It's more like a Craig, but that's okay.
Yeah, we did end up spelling it totally different. It had an E and a Y in it, I think, at one point. But anyways, that's where I'm based.
Okay. Well, then I was asking this because I was bringing it up on the map here because, you're right. There is a lot north.
Of here, I can talk about that, but I've just come back. I was had a wee holiday like the last week and went up to Orkney to go see about Bear Barley. And so after Common Grains, I then got invited to like a 2-day barley conference in February as well. Yeah. This is like a right all over the shop history of what's happened. Just got invited to this barley conference with the James Hutton Institute, and they were like, oh, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm a baker. What are you doing? Oh, we're like mapping the genome of this or something. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Wow.
And there was like distillers and stuff there too. So I went and met up with a guy called Peter Martin last week who is doing these like trials and crosses between Bear Barley and modern varieties of barley, because to grow Bear Barley was found at Scarabray, which is this old like historic site that's 5,000 years old. So this is, it's the same thing. So it's super old. And I think it's got a resistance to manganese, maybe was what they were saying, but also it grows in a short season because the issue is to do with daylight and the weather and the soil, and so it needs to kind of be short and fast, I think. So that was really interesting chatting with him, and that was all for the drinks industry kind of side of things, I guess, as well. It was cool. And then headed over. We were cycling for 5 days in Orkney with there's headwinds in Orkney. I've never been in such a low gear cycling downhill. So this was like Breadventure next version, you know. So last year, like living off a bike, this year, you know, just a wee holiday to Orkney. But it was 6 degrees at night. It's got cold again over. And then we went to Barney Mill to meet this guy, the miller there called Ali Harsher, and he was talking about proper tour of the mill there. It's amazing. They're drying. They've got this whole like kiln room. So we're standing in the kiln room, and the kiln room is powered from the hulls of the previous batch. So he gets like a ton or something, and he's using. It's just such a cyclical system. So it's just it was new to me. I have this is absolutely amazing. Like, what a system to be standing. And he's invited us to come back and work for a few days in the winter time with him. He said, you'll only really get it when you like are working here kind of thing. So that would be cool. But it was interesting because he's got quite a good water supply. It's a water mill, and he's got a really good water supply. And a lot of the other water mills, there's two others around about here, and there's always a bit of conversation about that to do with, how like really limiting as to how much they can mill.
Okay.
Because
is it because of dams or drought?
To do with the way the water's running off the hills.
Okay.
And it's like maybe it takes so much longer to run off the hills, or it's also to do with, I mean, we're speaking to Mike in Goldsby, because then we came back down and catching up with people. I just spend a lot of time talking to people. That is what I do. So Goldsby, he's talking about like deforestation and stuff as well. Okay. Do you know, it's massive. It's like the impact on the land of all these other things that then will affect it. So whereas up in Orkney, he's got like a kind of network of lochs that kind of link up. So but he doesn't mill in the summer because the lochs is also the drinking water supply. And so, but they also take more tourists in the summer. So they do tours. So the kind of business side of it, I guess, is like to do with tours in the summer. And so he's just about to start milling again in the next couple of weeks. So I'm using some Bear Barley nowadays as well.
Nice. So you open up the trailer and you're baking out of there like a couple days a week or on the weekends? Is that sort of the plan?
I started with this beer festival and I just took bread to the pub. So in this wee village, it's like about 145 houses or something. I kind of pretty roughly counted it off Google. And about 30% of them, people are not living in full time, or they're like yeah, they're either rental, like weekly turnover, folk or second homes and things.
Right.
And then, but in the village, there's a really great pub and a really lovely cafe. And so, yeah, there's like these kind of places for meeting folk. And so I've always gone to the pub, and it's now run kind of for the benefit of the community, pretty much. It's
okay.
It's an amazing, like he said, it's like for your social. Obviously, oh, it's for your social life. No, it's for the necessary social that you need in life. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
The key is definitely, like, it changes my life when it's open, and it's not even to do with drinking much. It's just to actually go and meet up with folk.
Absolutely.
The public house side to things, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, it's everybody's place.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant. And so they were like, yeah, sure, bring your bread. Like, keeps folk happy because they weren't doing food. The folks stay longer. Bread soaks it up. Okay. So I was doing that. And then, yes, that was amazing. And then it became efficient just to kind of do it Friday nights. So I was just one day, and I was baking ambient. And then I was like, I need another job for like several reasons, but also I didn't really want to just be living and working by myself. And
you're right.
Yeah. So I went and being an outdoor instructor. So I went back up Cairngorm, and I was working as a lifty for a few weeks. And then I got asked if I wanted to join the ski patrol then, kind of thing. So I asked to move over there. Like 6 days a week ski patrol, one day baking.
Okay.
I did that for like 6 weeks or something. Just like every day. And then lockdown happened. And so it was like, oh, by the way, your contract finishes next week, but the hill shuts tomorrow. Okay, right. And we were going to have a few more days of work to tidy the place up, but my stuff is actually still up there. I've still not been back up on my stuff.
Okay.
That's
so cool. And see, that's another thing. I didn't appreciate the size of the hills in Scotland. Oh, yeah. That you could that you got enough snow to do skiing and stuff. That's really cool.
There's five resorts, and so I think three of them are in Cairngorm. So I worked at Cairngorm for quite a few years before. It's absolutely brilliant, really great. It's just a massive playground, basically.
Sure. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's a part of Scotland I had no idea about. That my image of the UK is that it never gets cold enough to have a lot of snow stay around. But I'm watching London on TV. It's a whole other thing.
We've got 3 degrees forecast this week.
Good Lord.
September. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I think it might have changed now, but it was like today, I think it was forecast. Today has actually not been too cold. Today has been like 13 degrees or something.
Right.
But it was 6 degrees last week.
Yeah.
So the grass stops growing.
Yeah, for sure. I think they already had a frost back in Saskatchewan overnight and stuff. And it's just kind of, everyone's pulling up their tomatoes because that's all over. Yeah, it's strange. I'm such a weird spot out on the coast now, because the temperature doesn't really change. You know, like when it hits 25, I think, oh my God, it's the hottest I've ever been. But it's like back home, that'd be nothing. And now we're just sort of, I think we're going to be in this constant like 15 for the end of, till all through winter, like 15 and then down to about 8, and it just sits there and it does nothing. And it's the strangest place that way.
Constant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, our weather's still pretty all over the shop. Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
So when COVID hit, did you have to stop baking altogether?
No, I just baked more. I put a thing out on Facebook, and suddenly became a village Facebook page. And I was like, hey, I'm making bread tomorrow. Does anyone want bread?
Yeah, yeah.
Just got a bunch of Facebook messages. And then I was like, cool. Yeah. So I didn't really think about it. So I just kept reacting. It's only now that I'm actually trying to think through what I'm doing. Right. So it was like always, oh, hey, it's just reacting to what's happening. And so I ended up basically going on to kind of a subscription monthly pre-order delivery thing. And I asked a friend on the phone, I was like, oh, why are you guys not doing delivery? And he was like, well, because we weren't sure how to get out of it once we started it or something. And I was like, oh, nuts, I never thought that would get out of it. But the van broke, so that's a way of getting out of it, isn't it?
I
carried on with just used a ratchet strap to hold the door shut. That was the problem. The door wouldn't shut. I was out delivering and the door wouldn't shut. So I was driving back. I was like, oh, I'll just drive safe. But, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I'll tie the bread in. But the postie met me and he was just like, your door's open. I was like, I know, but I can't shut it. But then I was like, okay, I have to do something about it because the police were everywhere at that point in time. They were just like doing laps around. I was like, I'm totally going to get in trouble for this.
Right.
But I wrapped it, strapped it shut so it wasn't physically open. But the bread was tied in.
Oh, man.
I finally got service today. That's why I was away. I was in Inverness today getting the van service.
Oh, God. So how much are you able, like, what kind of an oven have you got in this trailer?
I got a wee mock mill and a Rothko, and I actually have a mixer too that is from a friend of mine, this Josh, that he had Grain of Truth Baking in Fort William. So I've got quite a bit of equipment from him because he's moved a bit further south. So,
nice. Okay.
So I got a mixer. It'll do like, it does more than 20 kilos. I think maybe I put more than is meant to be in it. My friend that was here like yesterday is like, what, you do that in it? And I was like, it fits. So he was like, it's making a bad noise. I don't know if that's okay. But today it's not making a noise.
So yeah. Well, there you go. Well, and just keep it going slow. Like if, as long as it's mixing slow, you're fine. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't go that fast.
Really. Yeah.
I was doing it all by hand and then it was kind of like, oh, well, I actually have this mixer. I'm kind of just being a bit of a purist about the whole thing. And then I got dough stuck under my fingernail. I don't know if you've ever had this. And then it dried and then it became infected. And that happened to a couple fingers. And then I got a splinter from a peel in my hand and it got infected. So I had like issues with my hands. And I was like, actually, and also do with electricity. This, it's everything single phase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just literally, it's a plug in the wall. And it seems to use less electricity than the kettle. So I was like, not even for that reason. You know, I was like, oh, actually, if it saves on impact on my body right now as well, because it's suddenly, anyway, it's just a whole thing's grown arms and legs. And I just ended up, we should actually go back so we do this in order. But it turned into twice a week pre-orders. And I couldn't commit to a week or a month. I decided I could do a week at a time.
Yeah.
I just couldn't think far ahead at all.
Yep.
And so I was just like, okay, this week, and I was just keep it constant. Nothing in anyone's lives is constant anymore. Like, let's just get something. Do you know, I knew I got milk on a Monday. Do you know? So I was like, that's great. And it became this thing where people then would know it was Wednesdays and Saturdays I was originally doing it. And I don't have a fridge, so it's all ambient, just whatever the weather's. And it was in March, it was, you know, it's kind of cool at night. It's back to that at the minute too, which is, yeah, it's a bit easier because it was like 18 degrees a couple of weeks ago and it was like, yeah, it's just getting a bit wild. So, Wednesdays and Saturdays, delivering it to the people. I got yellow bags and painted a load of bags up and just started hanging bread in people's doors. And obviously I got addresses wrong and people would get in touch and be like, hey, there's a bag of bread on my door that I didn't order. And I'm like, oh, do you want it? If you want it, you can have it. Otherwise, I'll come and collect it and put it where it's meant to be because I'm really bad at finding addresses. So I thought that was a bit of like terrible marketing going on.
Yeah.
Or
it was very smart because it's like you've got new people on the list now that never meant to get it.
Then are you going to order off someone that?
I might get it. Delivered somewhere near your house. Yeah,
that's it. Your neighbor might get it, but it also might be on totally the other side of the village, and it's a really small place. But for some reason, I just there's a railway line right through the middle, and I thought that the railway cottages were on one side when they're actually on the other. Oh, that was part of this, but yeah, it's delivering by just leaving these yellow bags. I've kind of run out of them now. There's about 200. Okay.
Anyway, oh wow,
they're now like a super limited edition, that's it. There's one left, I think. But so what happened after the bag thing, then things eased a bit and I decided I'd kind of had enough of delivering, so I was like, if you can come and you can now come and collect it, otherwise it's gonna be 50p if I'm driving to you, because it was like a lot of them were actually just roundabout, and I was delivering by bike whenever I could around here, but then there was kind of more and more, and so it was becoming like 12-mile. I'm all about like local, it's all around here, but I was taking time. It's just another whole, you know, you do the orders, you mix, you know, it's just all these different roles to the whole thing. I'd change clothes in between time, so it would mean like I finished that and now I do this bit.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and it and then you're into logistics and routing and all of that stuff that it's tough enough just to get all the bread baked and packaged, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been absolutely amazing. Like, I've learned just an unbelievable amount, and so many questions have come up that you obviously never even know to ask, because you don't even know these things until you're then faced with them. So just like, adapting a lot all the time, working it out, but trying to keep it clear.
Yeah.
So we have an amazing first minister called Nicola Hay.
Yeah. So, yeah. I read about her. Yeah.
So it's about keeping these messages, you know, you've got this information, you need to get it to folk, and you have to keep it straightforward. And so this, you know, I was like this with the bread too, like, okay, I'm going to change it, but I'd have to think about it a lot as to, okay, how am I going to change it? And then how am I going to explain that I'm changing it to this? Because, like, I then discovered the bank was charged. I went away from cash, went to bank transfers. Then the bank is trying to charge you 20p every transaction. So then at the end of the month, you're like, oh, nuts. Like, I've just paid off to the bank and I didn't even realize, because people are paying you £2 a week for a bun.
Yeah.
And it's 20p to the bank. So I was like, okay, we need less transactions. Okay. And then it turned into like monthly invoicing. And now I've got to this point. So literally this week, I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore, because the amount of time I have to spend of the admin. So now you can come and you can buy bread and you can take it home. And you can come tomorrow and you can buy bread and take it home.
Yeah.
It's just like that now. It's I'm kind of getting away from pre-orders basically, unless I like hold. I have a few holes up. So there was wholesale people at the beginning as well. I had to, like, with a cheese shop in the in King UC there, the cheese nook. Just bits and pieces. So my whole thing is about diversity, isn't it? You know, we've got more diversity, we've got more resilience, and that's just bits and pieces here and there. The same with work, with having multiple jobs. Now I've taken on too much, the honest truth of it, because I'm actually now studying at university too. I started university last week, so I'm studying uni full time online.
Oh my God. Running
business is it's kind of 6 days a week actually.
Okay.
Business, and then I'm doing community workshops as another project at the moment.
And what are you studying at university?
A sustainable development.
Okay, all right.
Sustainable development with the UHI, because basically the bakery is like local action, but I'm wanting to be thinking on a bigger, like, global perspective. But actually, it's really interesting. At the minute, my modules are about land reform and community land ownership, empowering communities, and economic development, policy and development or something. So it's like, yeah, there are things I'm massively, like, fascinated in, and I have conversations with people when they come to get bread, we talk about everything. So, but particularly land use and sustainable land use, I think that's something that's, like, the core behind, I guess, what I'm doing. And it was to do with, like, the outdoor instructor stuff, the garden stuff, and this as well. It's just, like, how is the land being, like, used, cared for? Like, I like the word stewardship. Like, that makes
sense. Well, no, it makes total sense, because, and also I've been thinking about it from the point of view of the land is commonly owned property, right? Because if not, then, like, if we're going to have private land ownership, then we need to have some sort of basic income coming out of that, because it's like, it's all, like, all the wealth comes from the land at some point. You know, you get back to it. And so the fact that that's all held in private hands has got me a little nervous.
I'm reading this book, like, one of the core uni bits. I haven't got very far with it because everything at the minute.
Yeah.
But, like, The Poor Had No Lawyers, Who Owns Scotland and How They Got It by Andy Whiteman. It's like this core text.
I'm going to write that down.
So I'm on, like, chapter 3, but it's talking about all the different phases of land grabbing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think coronavirus has done this to us, of, like, you know, we had this jigsaw piece. I don't know. I just feel like all the jigsaw pieces have been thrown up around in the air, and everyone's lives has just been scattered to bits, and the core parts of the things that matter to you have maybe become clearer. And we're not, the jigsaw puzzle, I don't think, is going to go back together at all the same way, but it's like, yeah, hopefully maybe, like, the core of these things, like, the things that I discovered are really important is, like, actually, like, being with people, like, you know, I want people, like, I want to be around people, and also food.
Yeah.
You know, like, these are these core things that we need.
Yeah.
And, well, I feel that we need. And this time around, because I think it's kind of kicking off here again now, that it's like, I want to make sure those things are in place.
Yeah.
And it's like our jigsaw pieces are still all over the shop, but like we're trying to put things back together and make a new picture with it. And that's how I kind of got involved with stuff too, speaking to like the local MP about how can we come back greener and kinder. I think, yeah, how can
because you're right, all the pieces are up in the air, but we get to we should be choosing which ones we grab back onto and just let some of it go, right? Like some of it was it you start to realize what's serving you and what isn't, right? And yeah. And let some of that stuff go.
Yeah. We were talking about Marie Kondo last time.
Yeah. Were we? Oh, God.
Yeah, because you were moving out of your house.
And that's right.
Like, oh, yeah. Does this bring you joy?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the whole thing.
Which we did, because when we moved, we had what was in our little van and that was it. Everything else was gone. We came here with a dog, a cat, and a van full of stuff. One chair, one table, you know. And we're still shaking our heads about some of the stuff that we left behind and some of the stuff that we brought. Like it's you know, how did this make it into the van and we didn't even bring a potato masher or something like that, right? Like, you know, we left.
Maybe it's, you know, at that point in time, those things were prioritized.
Yeah.
Have you noticed it throughout the lockdown? You're like, oh, hey, I would have much rather had a potato masher than this.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like, or certain kitchen utensils, that kind of stuff that we just kind of, what I think the logic was, a lot of the stuff, it's really common things. Of course we can replace, we'll replace them when we get there. We'll go to Value Village or a thrift shop and we'll pick up another potato masher or whatever it is. And you realize, no, actually you can't, because all the new stuff is crap. And the old stuff, everybody's fighting over it because it's the only stuff that works. And so my grandma's potato masher, I really should have kept, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then other things, realize, how did this even make it into a box? Like, this is completely useless.
Yeah. So, but that's something I think. So we used to always have this written on the wall in the bakery at Wild Hearth, which was, like, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thinking about, you're talking about the quality of things, basically. The fact that, and I think that's become clearer to me during the lockdown too, is because you don't just go out and grab stuff. Because, I wasn't going out much. You know, I was asked to do grocery shopping for people in the village here too. And I said, look, I'm going like once every 3 weeks. So if that works for them, yeah, I'll do that. But I can't, yeah. I'm not going more than, I don't go to town very often. So actually I get all of the chat without, I literally go 3 meters now. I don't travel very far.
Right.
It comes here now, doesn't it? That's
yeah.
It's great. Yeah, this place became a bit of a kind of meeting place for folk. And I know that you're not meant to be meeting folk, but we really did need to be meeting folk.
Oh, yeah. You need to see people, even if it's 10 feet apart and you're shouting at each other. You need to. You need it. You really do.
So we're catching up on stuff. And I've had little kids, like their first trip away from their parents, coming to get cinnamon buns and stuff. And it's amazing. Like the kind
that's
of
the best thing ever.
This whole responsibility you have within the community. Yeah. That's true.
When I had the bakery in the backyard, there was one guy in particular that he would drive up and he'd have his kids in the van and he would give his kids the money and they'd come around back and pick up the bread. And that was their job of the week, was to buy the bread. And they were all tall and this was, you know, and making sure they got the right change back or whatever. And it was the best. It was awesome. And he would text me and say, like, I'm not being rude. I'd love to talk to you, but the kids really love this job. And it was like, yeah, totally. They have to do it.
This is in, and with the older parents as well, they like bring their like student kind of age kids.
Yeah.
Too, like, hey, come and see what Rose is up to, like this, like,
oh yeah,
there's amount of folk they bring, yeah, bring folk around. But the kids is brilliant. And then there's two kids, they must be about 11 or something, and they cycle over together with their rucksacks, and it's a couple miles, like they must cycle like through 3 miles or something, and they come, they get the bread and they take it back, and it's an amount of folk. Then just because then I would be out cycling around the village, an amount of folk that's in waving, and I take the bread is now for sale down at the cafe. So this is honestly the most unchronological story.
That's okay. No, I don't care. I don't care that this is life. Yeah.
down at the cafe, Tony, Tony and Anne. So Anne's an artist. She's the one who painted the picture.
Okay.
I'm going to send to you. Yeah. And Tony is, they used to have an Italian restaurant and now they're doing, it's amazing. He's, last night we were chatting and he said this, is supporting 9 micro businesses through, like, it's a kind of a food kind of hub space.
Yep.
Here.
Yep.
And so he's doing like coffees and teas and cakes and like, you know, cafe, like it's kind of a street food thing and it's running as a takeaway now. So he opened, I guess, about 2 months ago. And so things started to get busy at that point. And he was like, they were all eating my bread. Like I just kept going to this twice weekly thing. So people were getting bread in the village. Someone else was doing eggs. She still does eggs and the honey. And there's some other eggs over there as well. And then there's strawberries and there's a couple other bakers of like cakes. There's like Norwegian cakes and there's someone else doing kind of, I think kind of like slices and stuff, kind of cake baking. And then mine's just like sourdough breads and cinnamon buns. That's why I've just been like, keep it straight like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
think that, yeah, we'll get on to it. But like things have changed now in the last 2 months for me. So it just became during lockdown, folk were out with their baskets, walking around the streets, walking their dogs, getting their eggs and their honey and their bread and
yeah,
chatting to each other. Like, you know, everyone just, it feels great, really great. And, yeah, one of my uni course modules is about empowering communities. And the question is, do you live in an empowered community? And I'm like, yeah, I think this is, because if you want to do something, you can do it. If yeah, you, I think you're open and clear about it, then yeah, like,
yeah. That sounds like a fantastic course, but you're exactly right, because the there are communities where there are places where what you're describing could send up warning flags. It's like, oh, you know, what's going on? And let's get the inspectors out there to make sure all the money's being counted and all of that stuff. Right. It's like,
yeah,
it's nice just to hear about people doing it for themselves, doing it for each other.
And it's how you go about it. So I think that I've got, I mean, I think too much about it. I think I'm probably too sensitive. Like other people have said that I am to it, but I wouldn't feel confident to turn up here and open up how I am now open.
Okay.
It's really needed the time for me. It's needed the time to kind of be like, hey, like I'm here, I'm making bread.
Yeah.
Just like steady, slow and steady, gradual build up, like being like solid through the lockdown, consistent days of the week, mm-hmm, this thing just ticking away. And then what happened then 2 months ago now, basically Tony with the cafe was like, oh, hey, do you want to put a sign down here? I was like, yeah, that'd be great. So I started making signs. I just painted plyboard yellow and wrote sourdough bread and left my phone number. And I was a bit self-conscious because obviously like it's an art gallery and a cafe. And I was like, my sign is really scruffy. And he was like, nah, like I saw your other ones. It's grand. Like, so he has it down there. All my signage, the horse box obviously is yellow. The signage is yellow. We've stuck with yellow. And so yeah, I just started to get more folk coming like that. And then he's like, oh, hey, do you want to like sell some bread down here? Like, because he's now got a table that's set up with all kind of local produce. So he just like a bit. So I take like 6 crunchy loaves and 6 baguettes to him like every day he's open. And he's like, oh, do you want to do this? And I was like, cool, yeah, that'd be good. But you know what? Only like the days I'm baking, you know, and I keep setting limits on myself, you know.
Sure,
like
that. Yeah.
So yeah, I can do it on Friday. He's like, cool, if you brought it Friday, then I could sell it like these days. And I said, well, no, like I only want it on the day, you know. So it's like, okay, well, if he wants it those days, then I'll bake all those days. And there's no point in doing it for like 6 loaves. So I should just make it like 50.
Right.
I should just kind of like open the door. Because, I mean, it is a retail catering unit, but I've just been running it as like my own wee bakery.
Yeah, yeah.
The door's not been open, you know. And so I opened the top flap one day and then the guys at the pub were like, oh, hey, we saw you were half open today. When you fully open? And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should fully open. And so then I like opened it down and then it's like full tilt, doors open, flags, kind of like, yeah. This thing. Now I need the acceptance and approval of the people around about. And I don't know if that's...
So what I'm hearing, just reflecting back, is that you like being pulled into it, right? It's sort of like,
well, it's
people coming to you saying, I want you to open up the bloody trailer here, you know, and
they're just like, and he was saying to me, this is Alan in the pub, I know what you should do is you could go to different villages on different days and do it like this. And that was my plan. Like that was my original plan, but it was really interesting to have someone else then say it to me.
Right.
And and be like, why are you not doing that? And I was like, why? Because I've set all these, because I've got overwhelmed with the documents and paperwork and the officialness. Like, that's what I was plowing through today as well. Yeah. It's like, you can get really sucked into that, and just the simple option is not to do it. I mean, tonight when I'm driving back, I spent 5 hours going through this stuff today. I'm still not done yet. Like, but driving back, I'm like, yeah. Really, the straightforward thing is you just like, nah, we're shut. It's too complicated. But actually, it's like, no. This is obviously not about, this is means so much more. It just, like, I didn't bake for one day. I chose not to bake one day because I had this business course on, and I honestly thought I had maybe, I wasn't sure if I was actually ill at that point as well. I was actually just completely exhausted from working 7 days a week for that couple months. So I just stopped for one day and I felt so bad. Like, that I was like, no, I'm not going to do that again unless, like, I really, there's a need. Do you know, like, in, yeah, I just was like, it's so, this was during like the first week of lockdown. And I was like, this is so, so important to keeping me going right now as well.
Yeah.
So it gave me a role, and yeah, I think it was mutually beneficial for probably most folk or everyone involved with the whole thing. Yeah. Well, I hope it was for them too. It was important for me. But then, yeah, to me, it's about doing things in a canny way. Do you know the word canny?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's slow and steady, and then it's just taken over. And I said to all my neighbours here, because like I'm in a residential area, if you've got any problems, please come and tell me. You know, because I've had some crazy parking going on recently, and it's just like, please, if something's not right, please tell me, because it's so important. The core of the thing is to feed the people here, and it needs to be, and I want it to be sustainable, and for that, it needs to be okay with everybody around about, and that's why I think I have this kind of, like, I don't know, self-conscious shyness about doing it or opening up like that. You know, be steady with it, and I think it is limiting, you know.
How much of it is just because what you're doing to the people around you anyways has got to seem so unique and so different, right? Like, you know, like I'm hearing a lot of similarities between a few things that I did, but then you're taking it to a whole other level and stuff. But I experienced the same thing when I was baking out of my backyard, this idea of, you know, this is a strange thing. This is a weird thing for a lot of people. Right. And so I just don't want anybody saying, you know, that I'm being annoying. Right. Or it's sort of like, that's the hard part sometimes, is just kind of getting over that and saying, well, I'm going to do it anyways. And it sounds like you're doing it from the right mindset of going out and talking to people and just saying, look, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if there's a problem, just tell me. Don't be shy about telling me.
I don't want it behind my back.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I bring it up and I'm like, oh, hey, like, is this going okay? And they're like, actually, no, it's not. And then they just tell me a bunch of stories. And I'm like, oh, nuts. Okay, well, that would have been helpful, obviously, to know. So now I'm like making clearer signage. But it's the same. I had this thing yesterday where I was like, oh, nuts, like, maybe we're doing something a bit too similar to with the cafe now. And I started to kind of be like, oh, I really don't want this to happen, because like, we can both exist in this space.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
It's very straightforward, because like, I'm a food producer and he's adding value, and you know, we can all have different niches, and it works. Because there's a few other businesses here too. And so I went down last night and was like, hey, like, I just want to let you know, like, this, we're now doing a bit more pastries, and I'm going to make sure that's not going into your area kind of thing. So like, it'd be good to have a chat about like what our niches are, you know, where I fit in. And, you know, I think a lot of people, and one of my friends that's here now was kind of be like, nah, like, you do your thing. You do it. Like, and then one of my neighbors was like, you want to do pizza? Do pizza. I said, no, I'm not. Tony does pizza. I'm not doing pizza. And I mean, I know folk would do that, but it's just, that's my way of going about it. And it's like, to do with, I need us to work as additions. I need to be an addition. Maybe, I don't know. That's a different, it's my perspective on it. And I think it's by being younger and coming in and starting a business, I don't want to be coming in full pelt, guns, whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, you see, honestly, when you see this picture, it's like, this is a yellow horse box with me, who's like blooming 6 foot tall, yeah, with massive loaves of bread going on. You know, like, it's not a subtle statement. And that's why I think that it was really important that it's been gradually accepted, yeah, by the place. And but they love it. They honestly, and I didn't really realize, because I knew the people that come, because then they say to me, yeah, and one of them's like, I didn't really realize the amount of work that you put in to make this bread. Like, she'd been eating it for months, and I was just like, just came to say like how grateful, and like, you know, it's just, yeah, brilliant. There's three generations of one family. There's the family, then there's obviously the kids of the family, then there's her parents, then there's like the kid's dad as well. There's like all this, it just, it's brilliant. And I went around, they invited me around for barbecue, and the teenager, so he's like, I think, honestly, I can't remember how old he is. He might be about 15. And he's like, man, your bread is stupid good. And I was like, well, thanks. I've not heard that one before. Like, and he's absolutely buzzing about it. He's just, yeah, it's amazing. And then my mum actually was about the other week, and she was like, bumped into folk that don't buy the bread. And so I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, because I don't see them. I don't know if they think this is an inconvenience to their lives, mm-hmm, in whatever, yeah, way. And actually, my mum bumped into this lady, and she was like, oh, it's brilliant what Rosie's doing. It's really great. And da, da, da. And I was like, oh, that's really good to hear too. So obviously, you know, you don't hear it to your face all the time. So that was, it's nice to know that it does seem to be going quite well within the village.
And just getting back to the pizza bit though too, is because I've been thinking about this a lot as well, because I understand what you're saying. And I was talking with a fellow in Australia a couple months back. That was the same thing. He was trying to diversify his stuff, but he was really sensitive to not doing what else was going on in the town, right? And pizza came up again, because he said, you know, the guy down the road does really good pizza. I'm not here to take his business, right? And that's because he's trying to survive as well. And I'm trying to think through what's the balance there, because from one perspective, you're exactly right. We need all of these places need to exist, and it's, nobody's trying to run the other guy out of business, right? But on the flip side, it's like the folks in the community might benefit from two types of pizza. You know, they might enjoy, say, today I feel like Rosie's, tomorrow I feel like the next guy. And so how do you, and I don't know the answer, but so is that, you know, you can get two types of croissants if you want in town.
To me, it depends where you are, because we're in a really small village in
England
as well. So it's like, we have actually got pretty big footfall, probably more than I've got more customers than I would expect to have.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, I don't actually really do any advertising. There's the sign at Tony's, and I have two signs on the gate here, and then it's word of mouth. Like, and that's, and he's, oh, why don't you do something to do with like Aviemore? There's way more people there. And I said, I actually don't want it, because suddenly if 50 folk turn up today, they're going to all be disappointed. And that's, I don't want to disappoint people. The core of the thing is like, let's try not to disappoint folk. So there, this is what, and yeah, so that's what's, so in August there with the thing, with the baking for Tony, it then turned into, well, why don't I just open 6 days a week, mm-hmm, and just see how far this thing can go? And so then I ended up ordering more flour. So then I started getting pallet loads of flour, and then doing like 18 hour days, 6 days a week. I'd be doing ambient and overnight again, because I changed it and then did them all ambient. So I'd just do from 6 in the morning, and then people come and get their bread coming at 5 p.m. with the order thing when it was warmer. And then I then started adding in. So I'd be doing some proofing overnight and some through the day, and then mixing again. So we'd have three doughs in the bannetons in 24 hours or something like that.
And, my God.
And then like, just and cinnamon buns. So doing a couple of varieties of bread and then cinnamon buns. So yeah, I don't know. It was something, I like maybe like 800 items or something in a week. I don't know, something like that. But it was just my friend now is just like, it's mad how much you've got from that Rothko. I'd be interested to know actually how much people can have through it. It just depends on time, but not having a fridge. I now have a fridge as of last week, but I'm actually yet to plug it in. We actually ended up, so yeah, it was a month of like craziness. And then I decided, then uni was starting. And so I was like, okay, right, I'm going to take a break now. If I don't take a break now, it's not happening probably till March. So let's just have like a week. So I took 10 days, went and got a fridge from Josh down south, came back. My friend Abby, who worked at Wild Hearth as well, she's left there and she's working here with me now for 2 months doing like a pastry pop-up. And so she then she came on the mission to get the fridge as well. And then we then went up to Orkney, not with the fridge, we left that and picked up our bikes.
Yeah.
And then went up to Orkney and cycling, and then just I took our bikes on the ferry, cycling over there, and then came back. So we got back on like Wednesday or something. And then started mixing Thursday, planning workshops, because there's a workshop happening next Sunday in the village here, and then going mobile. Well, we're going to see, because it might all change tomorrow, but it was to be mobile throughout Scotland. So the point of the bakery is it's a mobile micro bakery in a horse box.
Yeah.
That's the point of it. And so it was to be going to do workshops at different community hubs throughout Scotland in October. But now it might not, I don't know what's happening just at the moment because the numbers of things it's all locked down a bit more. So, yeah.
So you're going to go mobile. You're going to go mobile around Scotland while you're taking university classes and just generally changing the world. But not really,
it's going to be mobile for a week.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's a focused thing.
With
Scotland the Bread and Nourish Scotland to bring wholemeal flour to communities that don't already have access to.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like a different town every week for the next 2.5 years till you hit every town in Scotland. That kind of thing.
Oh, you're sowing seeds of ideas there now.
Just basically, I have to go to a website because there's a GPS on the trailer that says, where's Rosie? And I can just follow you all around Scotland.
Shop. So I had my bike tour thing last summer. Now it's the bakery thing. Yeah.
Now you're bringing the bakery with you.
The only thing is I don't really want to be driving. That's like, created a system that requires driving now, which was a bit of...
Yeah.
The only suggestion we've had so far was an elephant. You could have an elephant.
Well, is there some irony or justice in having horses pull the horse trailer? I don't know.
Oh, now hear that. It's a good one. It has been mentioned, but there was a whole conversation about elephants. For some reason, elephants.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, but they're
called Scottish elephants, yeah.
Have you heard? It's the year of the white elephant. All the camper vans. It's meant to be a massive camper vans. So someone told me it's the year of the white elephant.
Oh, God, that's funny.
About here. So now I'm back from Orkney baking.
Yeah.
We're open 5 days a week, so we're working kind of 5.5 or whatever, 6 days. Okay. And then university, Abby's here now doing a pastry pop-up and then workshops. Yeah. So that's what's...
And are the Canadians helping out at the bakery, or are they just... Abby's the Canadian.
Abby's Canadian. She's from Niagara.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't.
But her dad's Dundonian and her mum's from the Philippines. So cool. She's half Scottish. And then the other Canadian that's here too, he's actually from really near where you're from.
Oh,
or where
cool.
You're staying now. He's from where you're staying now.
Gotcha.
Nice. Yeah, he's also half Scottish. So.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. You are a beautiful human being, Rosie Gray.
Thanks.
My God. Seriously, you inspire me.
I have to say, this is like my least lively mood.
That's okay. Yeah, because it's late for you. But I'm just
sleep deprived and slightly hungover because we're trying to drink all the whiskeys in the bar at the moment. It's a game. It's a cultural game. I couldn't drink whiskey, and then I was told you should like whiskey because it's grains and it's fermented, and like, why are you not into whiskey? And so I was like, okay, well, we have to learn to like whiskey. So now I'm trying all of the whiskeys.
If it's an acquired taste, you have to acquire it. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. There's some that's like definitely not as enjoyable as others. So it's a long game. It's a really long game because it could be, it's been going on for, days, months, it's not, it's just like one or two we try every night.
Yeah.
No, not every night, but every night
we go
to the pub.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Well, but it's, yeah, no, it's great.
Good for you. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy for you with everything that you're doing. And I'm just, I don't know. Let's stay in touch because as you progress on this whole local economic development side of things, parallel to the baking, I'm just giddy with the thought of what you're going to do with all of this, these connections and this knowledge. And it's not amazing.
It's not about expansion. I said this to someone. Okay.
Oh, No. It's about impact.
Yeah. I've got a fair amount of rants up my sleeve, to be honest. The other week, it's like possible headings for podcasts. Who even uses margarine anyway? That's one. And there's a whole series, but one, the main thing on the, so I was on this business course, the Feeding the City one, like,
yeah,
Friday and Saturday, just there now, and baking in amongst it, like I was saying. So I set the laptop up on the counter and we just carry on. And we had to do pitches to like potential investors, kind of thing, as exercise. And the Zoom timer breakout room thing cut out, and I just get dumped into the next room.
Yep.
And I was busy on a full tilt rant about the faceless nature of the food industry. I was like, and then I was like, oh, right, well, you've just seen the end of my presentation, so now we'll go back to the beginning. And I was asked, because it would just dump you and you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then, so that's it, the faceless, that's what I'm on this thing. This month, I want to take much more photos and meet about the producers, directly working with producers. Because people would come to the horse box and be like, oh, is it just you? I'm like, yeah. And then I thought this through one night. I was like, no, it's not just me. There's like all these people beforehand. There's all of these characters. And that's what I love. It's about sharing their stories. And that's what you're doing with this too. Sharing and listen to your podcast when I'm shaping at night. Like,
nice.
I fit things in like that. And yeah, it's really great. And I love it. It's hearing other folks' perspectives on things. I listened to the guy from the Uni Ovens overnight.
Oh, yeah.
A message, because he's just in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not often I hear folk on here that's from nearby.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and the craziest thing is we were out for a walk on Sunday and there was a guy making pizzas outside of a microbrewery and he's got an Uni oven. And so of course we had a nice long chat about how's the oven performing and stuff. I said, oh yeah, I was just talking to their head of engineering on Tuesday. So yeah, it's a big world and small world at the same time.
It's massive. It's like spread all over.
Yeah.
But you can speak to folk. And the same, I was on the phone to Campbell the other day too, because that's what I said to you, to have a chat with Campbell. Like, because he's a right good chap. And that same links up with all these folk and all the bakeries he's been kind of, like, there's bits of his equipment in all these bakeries.
Right on. Yeah, I got to reach out to him too. It's, this is the month I think I'm going to be sending out enough invitations to fill up through January. But this is the month to have the talks. Yeah.
Does that mean you get a break?
No. No.
But you just had to be holiday camping yourself.
Yeah, I did. I had 10 days in our tent. We car camp, but still, it's the one we spent a couple of days. We were driving up. You have to go up this logging road in this tiny rental car. And once you get in, you stay until you leave, right? Because it's a pretty tough road, but it was just gorgeous up there. Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. But no, you were talking imposter syndrome, my imposter syndrome, sending out the invitations, not sounding like, a goofball, you know, I got a podcast. You want to come on the podcast? And, so it's,
but you've got a fair, like, what number are we on now? You're on a fair amount.
About 106 now. Like I think Mike was 106. So yeah, so it's getting better that way. This is an actual thing now. It's not like when it was number 20.
The first one I heard was Sheena, number 50.
Yeah. And that was to me, I got to touch base with her, see how she's doing in Banff. Cause it's like the 50 sounds like a big number, let alone 106. I don't know. Yeah. It's
cause that's almost a year, isn't it? By the time you're at 50.
Oh yeah. No, I started March 2018, so it's 2 years and a bit. Cuz I've taken some breaks, but I don't want to take any. I take a break, I want to have 3 shows in the archives ready to go. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you got the
hopper. Anyways, you got to get some sleep, Rosie.
Like, you can tell, eh?
No, it's late. I know it's late. You got work to do. You're a busy person, but thanks for the update and thanks for the chat. It's just a thrill talking to you again.
Exactly. I'm talking about diversity, not expansion.
That's right. But you're exactly right. Sorry, when I was talking about your rule in the world, it wasn't from an expansion point of view. It's just sharing ideas. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I understand. It's just like these are just rants. I end up turning that up with folklore.
Exactly.
Yes, and you're like, oh yes, no, this is actually, it's about like a food collective thing.
It's not about
being more efficient and better quality. Let's get better, not doing more, but just doing what we're doing better. And just going deeper into where these things are coming from. And yeah, that's it. Knowing the folk, knowing the stories. And so that's what this whole faceless nature, I'm getting these faces hopefully on the side of the horse box.
Awesome. And no margarine.
No, exactly. Who even uses it?
No.
Maybe we get a response from this, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I want the margarine lobby to attack us, and then we'll get more famous. Yeah.
Oh, the actual campaign is about better butter. As like, if everyone could get on board about eating better butter instead of necessarily coconut oil, then we could have more happy cows in grassy fields.
There you go.
How about
better
that?
Butter.
Cool. Anyway, but I can't deal with that because I've actually got a bit too much on my plate. So
okay. We'll find someone to lead.
I left it in a voice WhatsApp to someone else today to just be like, this is a potential project that it's on my mind, but I can't deal with that.
you gotta get on Twitter or something I just want to see one line every once in a while of Rosie's rants. There we go.
There's actually a book. No, I'm not even joking. I actually kind of have the beginnings of this book called it's either Random Rants or Random Ramblings.
I like, yeah, oh, okay.
No, Ramblings, right. because I did a fair amount of walking. So
yeah.
Awesome. Right. Anyway, that's all. There's much more content of that to any day.
Okay. Well, I'll wait another 25 episodes, then call again. So
yeah, next year.
All right, next year. Yeah. Have a good year.
Yeah, I'll listen to you and send you emails in between, okay?
Please, anytime. Love getting them.
Thanks, Mark. Right. Okay. Thank you. Cheers, Mark. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Holy Dinah. I wasn't fooling around. She is the real deal. Rosie is the real deal. I stand by my initial hype here. I hope you enjoyed this chat. I hope it got you thinking a couple of things. I hope it got you thinking three things. Let's go with this. Three things. First off, she's pretty awesome, right? Like, my gosh, we need more Rosie Grays in the world. That's just a fact. That's just, we need more people, more young folks with her energy and just going for it and just making things happen. Number two is there are more people like Rosie Gray out in the world. And you probably are that kind of person. And if not, you know that kind of person. And so really all I want to do is to continue to figure out ways to support and help and assist the hard work, the good work that you're already doing with the podcast, with Bakers for Bakers, with whatever else it is that you need. And then I think the third thing is, the work that you are doing, the work that Rosie's doing, is far, far better than what's going on in the news these days. And I mean specifically what you're reading in the news and the way you're reading it in the news. If you're going to read the news, this is my contention, if you're going to read the news, it's got to be in a way that gets you fired up and ready to go and gets you doing the good work that you're doing. Not just to let you spiral down and feel depressed or just angry or look at that son of a gun or whatever. It's if it's not inspiring you to take action, stop doing it. So that's that. And maybe I'm just talking to myself here, but my gosh, you know, and I read pretty calm, what I thought was pretty calm news, but it's just bringing me all down. And I realize there is not a single comment in any of these news sites about, okay, so what are we going to do about it? I think Rosie's doing something about it. I think you're doing something about it. I think Nate at Break Bread is doing something about it. I think the Blacksmith Bakery guys are doing something about it. I think, honest to God, I think everybody that I've talked to on this show is doing something about it. So let that keep you going. Let that give you the energy that you need to have a good day today and tomorrow and the next day. All right. That's it for this week. I would love to hear from you. I really would, about anything. You can share ideas. You can share feedback. You can share, hey, here's people you should talk to. You can share, hey, I want to talk to you. Whatever it is, Mark, M-A-R-K, at riseuppod.com. If this, for some reason, is your first episode that you've ever listened to and you're new to the show, there's over 100 episodes to listen to already. They're funny. They're informative. They're entertaining. Well, I don't know about funny, but I'd like them to be funny. Go give them a listen. I think you're going to like them. And if you want to really dig into this, if you're like, okay, I need to find my people and I need to work with other people to make my bakery the best that it can be for the folks in my community, join us at bakersforbakers.org. That's bakers, number four, bakers.org. It's free to sign up. We meet every other week. We have a forum. We got other events that I'm trying to get together. Let's continue to share good news, ideas, and motivation for each other so we can make the change that we want to make in the world and that together we can all rise up. Ha! That's called a tie-in. Anyways, enough yakking. Have a great week. Work hard. Stay safe. Bake lots. Happy baking. Bye-bye.